to do a Spaces to go recap volume 11. And apparently, Sirius Jones was in there, and somebody told him, like, bro, you trash. Like, you got washed.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, like, that's a rough one.
So rude.
So rude. Like I said, man, we're not gonna do it right now. but at some point we are gonna have a conversation about the relationship between fans and battle rap, media and battle rap, and battlers. Like, we're gonna have a conversation about that. Not tonight though. That's to come. All right. I think I'm looking good. I don't know. All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. No matter where you may find yourself as you listen to this and you are tuned in to the Only Sports Podcast with Brands and Bars. It's another episode of It's a Black and White Thing featuring A1 and A Ward. You can check out every episode of It's a Black and White Thing by going to the podcast app of your choice, searching for It's a Black and White Thing or for Brains and Bars. Please rate, review, subscribe, give us 5 stars. If you do nothing else, though, share the podcast with your people on your socials. Tell a friend to tell a friend it's those boys again. You can also check us out on YouTube, going live every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, somewhere in between, in the middle of the week, by searching for Brains and Bars. Hit the notification bell, hit the likes, share the broadcast, all that good stuff. I mean, as you can see, I got my homie in the building. Hey, Ward, what's going on, my guy?
You already know. The time is here. It is March Madness. Yep, there's a game on behind me. Just finished the first play-in game. Good weekend for battle rap. Another good weekend coming up this weekend for battle rap. And a lot of free agency news. NBA's heating up. We got about 15, 16 games left until the playoffs start. In regards to the NBA season, yeah, a lot of good stuff going on right now, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. So,
shout out to the Kansas Kings that could have had Magic Johnson.
Oh, man, that story broke my heart. I was like, yo, we might still have a team.
Yeah,
if Magic was
Magic
here.
Johnson comes out and goes to the Kansas City Kings, man.
For sure. So, yeah. Yo, hold up. So we got a dope show for you. We're going to get into, like I said, we're going to recap URL's volume 11. Yep. We're going to talk about the tournament. What else are we getting into tonight? We're going to make picks 9 through 12 in our mock draft. We'll talk about Justin Fields being traded. We'll talk about the moves that the Bears have made. And we'll give a quick discussion of RBE Full Circle. You know, they got an event going down. I believe that's this weekend.
Indeed. Next weekend. Yep.
Yes, sir. So we'll talk about that. So let's get into it, man. So first off, you know, before we get into anything, we got to have a quick conversation. This is going to be very fast. It won't be very long. I just got to say, you know, RIP, no, not to Lux. Not to Lux. We're saying RIP to a debate that has gone on for a while between us and our group chat in particular. And this debate is about what is more impactful in the game. What's more embarrassing?
Demoralizing.
Yeah. What's worse, being dunked on or getting crossed up? Right. That is the debate that we've had for a while. I have been on the right side of history in this debate because there is nothing more demoralizing. There's nothing more exciting than getting boomed, than watching someone get boomed on. And last night we had a dunk take place that will go down in the pantheon of great dunks, in-game dunks in NBA history. And I'm just going to pull it up because it's already playing in the background. You can't see it. We're just going to watch it a few times because Anthony Edwards went crazy. Listen, look at this. Look at this. Are you kidding me? What?
He couldn't even celebrate. He hurt his other hand.
He hurt his other hand. Like, bro, listen, John Collins. Let me get this off the screen. I don't want to get our podcast hit with.
Well, I like that widescreen view. We can see all. Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah. Oh, you like the widescreen? You like the?
Yeah, I like seeing my, you know, the walls back there. Okay.
Okay.
No, it's good. We good. You don't have to do it that way.
But listen. Like, John Collins has posterized many a person in his time in the league. Like, he's boomed on some cats. Mm-hmm.
Just a fact.
And sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield, and he disintegrated on contact. Thanos snaps. I don't feel good, Mr. Stark. Like, he literally had to leave the game because he had to suffer the contusion. There is nothing. Like, hold on. We're not done. We got more. Let me see if I can find this. Let me share this tab real quick. Make sure I share the right one.
Jalen Johnson, too.
We're going to get to that in a second. I got that too.
But the fact that two happened in one night and you don't get crossovers often at all, there's a rarity.
Look at this.
I need that on my wall. I need that one right there. I need that one right there.
That is a fat head waiting to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, that is ridiculous.
The ridiculousness is realizing you can do that. like from where he jumped and like knowing there's a guy underneath is just a wild confidence of just being able to say, I'm going to take off here and watch what happens. Like, that's crazy.
Crazy. Now, in the same game, or same night, excuse me, you had this happen.
Grady and Anthony. Anthony and Grady. Anthony and
like,
Grady.
Dog, like, I wish I don't have the Instagram post, but I
this
wish.
This one looks worse. I mean, the other one, you know, obviously, but this one, just the visual of this one is listen, wildly. Listen,
I don't really play the pause game anymore.
Yeah.
Pause. Like,
at
like,
least Collins had his hands, like, you know what I mean? Like, Austin Reeves' hands are like.
Oh my God, bro. Like,
oh, it's ugly.
Nasty work, bro. Nasty work. Like, fam. Like, so again, RIP to that discussion. We're never talking about this again, about which is worse, getting crossed over or getting dunked on. I've been crossed in my life. Nobody, like, I play with some really good basketball players. It happens. One, they got to make the shot for it to really even be a moment, because if they don't make the shot, then it's just like, who cares?
Right.
Like, I've never been dunked on before. I got close. I'll share the story real quick and we can move on. My freshman year at Lincoln. Lincoln had, you remember Pierre?
I do. Pierre. Shout out to my guy, Pierre.
Solo went to Lincoln as well, right? Solo. So they had a tournament and it was like a fundraiser. I don't know if it's for the prom, for the senior class, but they had a little tournament. And so it was like a 4-on-4, but it was full court. It might have been 5-on-5 full court, right? The games were like maybe 5 to 7 minutes. Whoever was winning after that time frame went on to the next round.
Yeah.
Like, half the school, if not the entire school, is in the gymnasium. All the best freshman players. So me, Solo, Pierre, all the same class. I think Josh Tolbert, who sometimes checked the show from time to time, I think he was on their team. And probably Phil, and I can't remember the other guy's name. His name might have been Brandon. They're like five of the best freshman players. They all link up. I joined a team where I might have been like, I'll say I was the second best player, right? Like, but it wasn't a team that was going to win. But we enter anyway, right? And we have to play that freshman squad first game up. They're going crazy on us. Like, they're hitting. I might have hit like the first opening jumper. I don't think and somebody else might have scored one more bucket. We don't score again the rest of the time.
Yeah.
Like, they get a fast break. It's 3-on-2. One of the guys, Josh Pierre, pulls up, shoots a jumper. I go to the rim to go, you know, see if it rebound. Ball caroms out off the rim, right? Comes off. I am getting ready to rebound, right? Because it's just me. All of a sudden, as I am elevating and my hands are reaching up for the basketball, I feel a presence on my back. Solo has come crashing in.
Yeah, when the goon steps in the room.
Oh, man. The evil spirits are running. Listen, he runs, and thankfully, I got just enough of the basketball that he could not grab it and posterize me in front of the whole school. Because if that happens,
it would have been a wrap. It would have been a legend. The legend. Listen, the legend of. Listen, we'll still be talking about it today.
Going to the office to call my mother and say, I need to find a new school. I need to find it. We're done here. I can't come back.
Thankfully,
he missed the dunk, and I was able to leave with what was left of my dignity after they smacked us for a good 5 to 7 minutes on that court. So all I'm saying is we're done. There's no more which one is worse. Getting boomed on is worse because getting boomed on is worse. Listen, to all you kids out here, let this be visual evidence of we don't need another hero. Don't try to take a charge. Don't try to step in and make the good basketball play.
It's crazy that this is like the not talked about dunk of the night.
And it was, bro, but the Anthony Edwards dunk is so crazy. Like,
dog. This was the first play of the game, too.
First play of the game.
Like the first point of the game,
Here's the thing. I was in the grocery store when you posted the dunk of Anthony Edwards in the chat. And so, like, I'm in the line. I'm like, oh, let me see what this is. I'm looking at it. And when he booms on him, I go, oh, my God. Like, in the grocery, I'm turning around. I'm walking out the line. I am like, people had to think I was crazy.
I could
not believe how crazy that dunk was, man.
Yeah.
And here's the other part of this. What's funny is that Anthony Edwards, so when we had this debate 3-4 years ago, we had Perry Randall III on. He works for TNT. Atlanta on Inside the NBA, right? And so we had him on the show, and that night before, Anthony Edwards had put this debate in its coffin
on the baseline.
He dunked on Yuta Watanabe, I think is how he says his last name.
He
came baseline and boomed on him something crazy. Then last night he decided to go get the nails, bang them in the coffin, lowered it in the ground, and kicked dirt on it. It's done. We're never talking about this as a debate again. Unbelievable play by the young man. Dunked the ball so hard that the ball recoiled and dislocated fingers in the shooting hand. Dog. Crazy. All right. One last thing I want to talk about real quick, and we'll get into some NFL stuff. So I don't know if you had a chance to see this. But today, LeBron James and J.J. Redick dropped their premiere episode of Mind Game. And so I've watched about, I think I maybe have like 10 minutes left of the show.
How long is it?
That's about 43 minutes. Okay. And so this show is dedicated to celebrating the game, to having high level discussion of X's and O's. In this first episode, he and JJ talked about what makes a great player. Like what makes you great? And LeBron listed three things: knowing the history of the game, love of the game, and discipline. Right? You know, he talked about the sacrifices he's made in terms of family wise. Of he went through his like workout regimen of getting up super early in the morning, doing a workout, you know, going to the gym, putting in more work, coming back home, rest and recovery, and that's it. Right? And so, he talked about the things that make a player great. He talked about guys, having a love for the game and not just the things that the game can bring to you. It was a really fascinating and interesting conversation. And they, like I said, they also get into some X's and O's. They talk about, schematics and play design and how to defend certain things. And if you've listened to this podcast, someone has listened to this podcast, because that is the very thing I have been calling for from someone in the NBA community, in the basketball community, to create a show that is not about, well, where's LeBron going to be playing next year? Is Wembanyama going to be upset that the Spurs aren't winning and demand a trade after year one? Like, a show that is not focused on any of the gossip or any of the outside noise of basketball, but simply focused on the game and how helping casuals and helping fans who are diehards, who love and breathe the game, to bring them in and let you have these high-level conversations with these athletes. And to me, it's the first episode. The one thing I would love for them to see them do is they have, like, when they talk about like a dribble handoff, right? They'll have in the lower third of the screen a definition. So they'll say dribble handoff, the process by which, dribble and handoff to, right? Or they say BOB, thumbs down, right? They're giving you these concepts and these things, and they're explaining it to you in real time. And then JJ, he kind of he walked you through a play by kind of
doodling. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
and the one thing I would like to have them do is to pay the extra money to get someone to put an actual, whether it be split screen, or full screen, where you get to see this play diagrammed out in real time. Right. So because I think I saw on Twitter where some people went and found like actual examples of in-game play. Now, I understand sometimes getting the rights to that can be tricky, especially for granted, even though it's LeBron. But if you can at least find someone to at least show the diagram plays that you're talking about just with numbers, the one, you know, the one through five or whatever. When last time I checked, it had over 100,000 views, had over 80,000 subscribers. This is the thing that the NBA has needed for a long time to help grow the game. And it's just, I think it's a, I want to give kudos to JJ. I want to give kudos to LeBron for doing this. They're going to have episodes drop once a week. And they said they're not just going to talk about the NBA. They said they're going to talk about women's sports, women's college basketball, WNBA, FIBA. So this is going to be, to me, I have a couple of final thoughts. One, I think this show, whenever they decide to bring it to a wider audience, whenever they decide to pitch this to Netflix, HBO, ESPN, TNT, they're going to get a bag to have that show broadcast live with LeBron James, JJ Redick, and so on and so forth.
Anything with LeBron on it.
Absolutely. Here was my other thought, though.
I'm actually shocked it's only at 100,000 views.
I haven't checked, right? I mean, it was at 100,000. That was at lunchtime.
Yeah.
That was at lunchtime. So it was at 100,000 at lunch. Let me see real quick. Let me see what they're talking about here. What is this? It's called Mind Game, right?
I think about like football. You know, you had like you had back when Gruden did the quarterback thing, you know, we sit down with the quarterbacks and he talked about, you know, plays and different things like that. You know, you got Peyton and Eli on Monday Night Football, they kind of get in there and they kind of analytically dissect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't really take time because they're actually watching a live game, but they go in there and, you know, they're using terms like, Eli, you got right here is a stunt. So, you know what I mean? Boom, boom. You know, you got guys that are just really, really – I mean, I feel like LeBron is similar to what Peyton is, you know, to football, you know, like as far as their minds, you know what I mean? And I think that mind game things, man, that could – it could go – it could be a brand that goes beyond just basketball, you know? Like, it could be, you know, Peyton Manning mind games over here. It could be, you know, Mario Lemieux or, I mean, I don't know who's, you know, but essentially, you know, you could take that, you know, across sports.
For sure. And it's at 823,000 views.
Good Lord.
In 14 hours. So
yeah, this I was going to say, 100,000 with LeBron on it kind of was like, what?
Yeah. Well, but again, that was probably after like 3 hours. So this is going to hit 1 million views in 24 hours. Right. And I know JJ Redick, you know, he talked about, well, you know, I have on my show, I have a rant about, you know, the game today. And it gets like, or I talk about the diagramming some play and it gets 54,000 views. I do a rant on Doc Rivers and now I'm going viral. Well, sir, I mean, you link up with the right person. You get James. And now we got something completely different. So, you know, like, I think that's pretty dope for them, man. And I hope that people continue to tune in. And I hope it shows these networks that you can invest in this type of thing. I get it. LeBron James is LeBron James. But I think if you get the right people to sit down and talk about these things, you can have that same type of – well, you won't have that same type of result if you don't have LeBron James attached to it.
Yeah.
To be fair. But you can build something. Because if you look at a show like NFL Live – with Mina, with Laura Rutledge as the host, Ryan Clark, Big Swagoo, Dan Orlovsky, right? Like none of those, there's not a Hall of Famer listed amongst that group.
Right.
But they're able to have these high level discussions about the game and people tune in by the droves, like to watch that show. To me, it's the second best sports, like not like debate show, but like an actual show that's dedicated to discussing the game. Inside the NBA is number one, even though I have my gripes with it, I have to acknowledge the fact that it is the best one out. And to me, NFL Live is right there, right behind it. So,
yeah, do you see it as something like LeBron, like making a move to say, hey, like, I mean, he already knows his playing time is coming to an end, but is this like a step in like the...
That was my other thought, right? Was the fact that he's doing this during the season, by the way. Mm-hmm. So in season, and the fact that he's doing this show, it makes me wonder, like, is this kind of the soft launch, if you will, of post basketball LeBron James, right? He's already got the shop that he does on HBO. He's got, you know, Spring Hill Entertainment, which does different. I think Spring Hill might have brought what's the show you like to watch about the kid and playing college football?
Last Chance U?
No, not Last Chance U. The show about the kid playing football.
Oh, All American.
All American. He might, yeah. I don't know if he was behind that one, but he might be, I think. Right. So he's kind of got his production company. He's done a couple of movies. He's produced. He's had a guest appearance in I forget the movie with Amy Schumer and Bill Hader. Anyway, but he was in that movie, right? But I wonder if this is the start of post-retirement LeBron James by doing this show. You know, he can do it once a week. He can do it with JJ, can meet him wherever, or he can go wherever JJ is, because now JJ is part of the number one announced team for ESPN, right? He's on the road several times a week. So I do wonder that. And it's a great start, right? If that's what he's going to do. The one thing I found to be interesting was he had a quote where he talks about teams who draft well, right? He talks about how NBA teams draft on potential instead of drafting finished products. But he goes, but you look at these teams who are picking somewhere between 15 and 42, and they seem to always find the talent. And he's drinking wine while he does this. He goes, those guys, when I get a team, I'm going to hire those guys. They're going to work for me. And he takes a sip of the wine.
Yeah.
And he goes, OKC, Sam Presti does a great job. And I went, if I'm Sam Presti, I'm like, today's price?
Yeah.
Yesterday's price?
Not today's price.
It's not today's price.
Yeah. That's a good cut. Yeah, that's a good cosign.
But shout out to LeBron, man. Like I said, this is everything I've wanted. Shout out to Titus, man, in the building, Tar Heel season for sure.
Let's go, Wagner.
Don't do that. Don't do that. But this show is everything that I have wanted. I am excited for it. The only other thing I asked from the NBA, for NBA media, bring back the inside stuff. Put it on not cable television. Put it on regular network TV. Hire Taylor Rooks to be the host. Give her creative control.
Give her all the control.
And let her resurrect inside stuff. I think that's the last.
For some reason, there's guys in Kansas City that are white with beards that have great looks with tailors. And I'm just saying. All I'm saying is.
Yeah. Yo, what's up, JC? That's all. That's the last thing. They do that, and I will retire from pitching ideas to the NBA because I will have been 2 for 2. And they would have done a great job in my estimation. So
indeed,
let's keep it moving, man. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about, let's get into the NFL. So last week after we did the show, I think it might've been Thursday.
Yep.
Justin Fields gets traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe it's for either a 5th or 6th round pick. I think it's a conditional pick that based on playing time, it might move up to a higher draft pick. He will not be in competition for the job. He is going to back up Russell Wilson. Which paves the way for the Chicago Bears to draft Caleb Williams, number one overall. So we'll start with Pittsburgh first. What was your reaction to seeing Justin Fields get traded to Pittsburgh? Before you answer that, I want to put this comment on the board.
Yeah.
JC, Chicago's own, right? I'm still mad about the Fields trade. He got done dirty.
Yes. as far as done dirty, yeah, I didn't like the way he was handled in Chicago. However, I will say that I don't necessarily think Justin Fields played at a level in which made us think there's no way they're drafting a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like he played well. He played well. Yeah. Don't get it twisted, but he did. And he played well at times. But, man, Pittsburgh. Talk about Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh went from Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph, you know, cleared that out and picked up Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. And I think they're paying Russell Wilson $1 million because the Broncos paying him the other $39 million for 1 year, correct?
Correct.
And then you got Justin Fields, who is what, still technically
on, I think it's like $1 million because they declined his option. Yeah. I think it's like $1 million as well.
Yeah. So literally got two quarterbacks for like $2 million. yo, Pittsburgh. Yo, Mike Tomlin, whoever's handling the business over there, like great job. Because you know, if Russell comes in here and you know doesn't perform at a level in which you need, you know what I mean? You got Fields that you can re-sign for next year and move that way and see if that works out. Shout out to Justin Fields. I mean, I don't know that he has much of a choice, but you know, to go into a situation knowing that you're going to be the backup, knowing you're not competing for a starting job. You know, especially after kind of how everything was handled with him in Chicago. I don't know if you heard Kenny Pickett's comments on him being confident with how he handled the situation with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers made a great move. The Chicago Bears, they sat on Justin Fields way too long. I don't know what they were expecting, but for them to turn around and get, I don't even remember what it was, but it's a fourth or a fifth or something like that.
I think it's a fifth with the ability
possibly to be up to a third or fourth.
I think it's a fourth. Hold on. Let me make sure I get that right.
Like,
I think it's a fifth with the ability based on playing time to turn it into a fourth.
Yeah. And like, man, I watched Justin Fields play. I watched him play live. I watched him play on the TV. I watched him play, you know, a lot of the games, fantasy football wise, different things like that. The guy's not—he's not that bad, you know. I'm not saying he's that good, but I mean, for only being in the league what, 3 years?
Like,
yeah. That's just kind of wild to me.
So I'm just looking at this. Apparently, he wanted to go to Pittsburgh.
I mean, maybe I don't know. That's kind of odd too. I don't know that I would have wanted to go somewhere to be the backup. I would have wanted to probably be somewhere where I could compete for a starting job and prove to everybody that it was Chicago's fault and not mine.
I'll say this. I think it's a good move for him from this standpoint. Russell Wilson is a bridge. Like, he's not, unless he has some sort of renaissance, I don't foresee him being a great player. Right. So it's a sixth-round pick in 2025. If Fields plays 51% of the snaps this year, it'll bump up to a fourth. So I think, like I said, Russell is Russell is not the long-term solution. And so with this, again, we talked about this quarterback draft in 2025 not being up to par. It's not going to be a great draft. And so I think he looks at it, if Russell struggles with the Steelers, if he has some of the same issues he had in Denver and they are in the playoff hunt, which they likely will be, then he has an opportunity to turn around and then get some playing time this year. If Russell gets hurt, he's next in line. And I think after Russell is gone, he won't get a big deal next year. But hold on 1 second. Am I still good?
Yep.
Something happened to my Wi-Fi. I'm not sure what happened. It says it's like dead.
Oh, really? No. I can see everything.
Yeah, which is weird because I'm plugged in. So hopefully everything is good. But I do think that this allows him an opportunity to play with a stable organization, with a coach who should probably still be there next year. And I think they have the opportunity to surround him with more talent. They're probably going to go wide receiver at some point in the draft. They're working on fixing their offensive line. You already have George Pickens. You got Najee Harris, Jalen Warren. You got a good ground game. Pat Freiermuth. So you have something to build upon, right? Although he's got to be looking at what Chicago has done and gone.
Really?
Yo! Y'all couldn't do that for me while I was there. Like, what's good?
Yeah. I do. I like the addition of DeAndre Swift. I don't know if I'm a big Keenan Allen. I mean, Keenan Allen to me is just on the tail end of his career. Like, it's not bad to have Keenan Allen on your team, probably in your wide receiver room, but I'm also not, you know, I'm not sold on that being like such a great free agent addition, you know.
For Chicago?
Yeah.
No, I love it. I love it.
I think Keenan Allen is, if he plays the entire season, I think he's on his way out.
I mean, if he's on his way out, he hasn't shown he's going out with a bang. Like Keenan Allen was great last year.
He was hurt. Granted, last year, right?
He was hurt. But I mean, I don't agree with this.
Best ability is availability, right?
I don't agree with this. Allen's going to give them five games. Look, here's the point though. They got Cole Kmet.
Yes.
They signed DeAndre Swift.
Yes.
They already have DJ Moore.
Great. Cool. I really like DJ Moore.
They got, and I already said Cole Kmet, I think already.
Yeah.
That's a great start. And let me, while we're bigging up, let me give one more golf clap to Ryan Poles again, because people looked at when he traded for, I think it's Montez Sweat. Was that the young man from, they traded for the Redskins.
Yeah, I was going to say Redskins too.
Oh, yes, Commanders. My fault. The Commanders. Forgive me. I'm an old man. So they get Montez Sweat from the Commanders. They are able to re-sign Jalen Johnson. And I may have made one other move in free agency. Like, they've added some really good pieces, and that defense was not bad last year. To me, it improved once Sweat got there as well. They are set up to compete for the division next year, even with Caleb Williams, because you give him a lot of great talent to build around to where he doesn't have to come in day one and feel like he's got to put the team on his back. You got veterans in Moore and Allen at wide receiver. Swift, who's now in his, wow, he might just be in like his fourth year, but on like his third team, which is kind of crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
And so, listen, shout out to Titus. Allen had 1,200 yards in 13 games last year. Like, come on, what are we talking about? Like, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore together is a nasty, nasty duo, bro. Like, that's...
I guarantee you he don't put over 800 yards. I guarantee you Keenan Allen don't go over 800 yards.
I take that bet. I take that bet.
I bet dinner on it right now.
I take that bet. Bet it up.
At like the fast food restaurant of your choice. Brahms it is.
Hey. Don't threaten me with a good time now. I think that's a great combo. And I think Caleb Williams is going to be set up for success early on. The division has gotten incredibly competitive all of a sudden, right? You got the Packers on the rise, Lions. You got the
Sam Darnold led Vikings.
Yikes. But I mean, you have three of those four teams who have gotten their quarterback. Well, I don't know about Detroit, right? But at least for now, they're solidified at quarterback, at least for the next year.
Yeah.
And it's the NFC. We were talking about the NFC not having any quarterbacks and it being less than the AFC. And they, you know, we'll see what Washington does at quarterback. If they go Jaden Daniels or Drake May, I think right now the money's on Jaden Daniels, but you're going to have, at least in the NFC North alone, right? Probably JJ McCarthy in Minnesota. Cause there's a lot of whispers about that.
Yeah.
JC says the fact that you're slandering Keenan Allen like this, I don't like it. I'll smoke you, then pay for the after battle meal.
Let's go, JC. Let's go.
I mean, so, but again, man. You got Jordan Love. You're going to have Caleb Williams. You're going to have a new quarterback in Washington.
Quarterback in Minnesota. I don't think Sam Darnold plays the entire year.
No, he's a bridge guy. And look, I mean, shout out to Hendon Hooker. I would like to see Hendon Hooker get a shot. He was really good his last season at Tennessee, obviously before the ACL injury. He's basically had a redshirt year. Maybe the answer's already there, and they just don't know it yet.
Maybe. He's a little old.
I mean, but, you know,
sometimes
if he can give you 10 years, I think that's a great deal. Yeah, if he can give you 10 years. All right. So, let's. I think we covered anything else you want to say about Chicago and what they've done in the
not a whole lot. I'm looking at your list as well.
So I want to ask you this question real quick about Pittsburgh, because I got to try to remember who the heck we picked in this mock draft, because I'm using my phone as a camera, so I can't look at it. so I want to ask you one quick question about Pittsburgh while I look up my photos real quick.
Yeah.
So I've had several people tell me that Pittsburgh needs to blow it up and get rid of Mike Tomlin because it's just not working anymore. Like, he's taking them as far as he can go. Do you agree with this idea that they need to blow it up?
Man, that's so difficult, man. The percentage of coaches out there that you're fully confident in that can take you where you need to go is not – it's not a huge pot of coaches out there. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, figure this out, you know? Mike Tomlin's probably one of the best NFL football coaches of all time. Last year ended up with a winning record with, you know, Mason Rudolph and these guys playing. I think the tough thing about Pittsburgh is this. We just talked about Russell Wilson is probably only going to be there 1 year. If Russell Wilson improves them by two games and they go 12-5, right? How do you not bring Russell Wilson back for the second year? Tell him, like, yo, we went 12-5, but you was only here for a year, you know? And then I guess when you tell him that, that's when you're telling quarterbacks in Pittsburgh, hey, I get us to the playoffs. If you can't get us to an AFC championship game or a Super Bowl, you're easily dispensable. Dispensable, yeah.
I think you tell him like this, the same way Alex Smith was told after going 12-4 twice, hey, we're going with Colin Kaepernick. And then, hey, we're going with Patrick Mahomes. I think it's just like that. And I also think it depends on how what it looks like, right? Like, it's one thing to go 12-5, but are you going 12-5 by playing average football and you're being carried by your defense?
True.
You're doing just enough to get by on these wins? Or are you looking like the Russell Wilson, you know, maybe 2 years before you leave Seattle?
I think the big thing is Pittsburgh fans and then the tradition that team, like, their expectation is championships. Like, that following's expectation is championships. And if he's going to consistently make the playoffs, he's going to consistently be getting picks in the 20 range, you know? And so it's kind of a tough spot that you're in. I don't like the idea of blowing it up and firing Mike Tomlin, but I do think that Pittsburgh is in a tough purgatory-esque spot where they are not one of the top even four or five probably contenders in the AFC to it's like Kenny Powers.
Eastbound and down.
Yeah.
is he playing Madden?
Yeah, I gotta be.
All right, so just for the people who are listening to this, Kenny beats, this is from the homie Titus, Kenny beats the new GOAT Mahomes in the Super Bowl, the Foles prophecy. Okay. All right. And shout out to Titus Glide. He said they would move Russ to Chaplin.
I can see that. I can definitely see that happening. But yeah, he's in a tough spot. But I mean, it's just to me, there's not so many coaches out there that it's like there's a fix out there. You know, it's like, I don't agree with getting rid of Mike Tomlin until Mike Tomlin's ready to go.
Absolutely, and I want to say he has not signed a new deal yet. Let me make sure. I think he's got 1 year left on his deal,
and he's a player's coach. Come on, the players probably still love him.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, he could be a lame duck coach. So this could be his last season. We'll see if he gets an extension. But, yeah, so y'all let us know what y'all think, man. What do you think about the move to send Kenny – I'm going to say Kenny Powers – send Justin Fields to Pittsburgh, the move of what the moves that the Chicago Bears have made? Real quick, I do – that Kenny Pickett thing, the quote about he desired to leave. Young man. Who's in your camp? Like who's advising you? Why? Why would you say you don't want to be here? Like, you're the backup.
Yeah.
At least for now, you are the unquestioned backup. Where did he end up going?
I was getting ready to ask you that. Oh, Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean, I get it. This is Titus. You can chime in on this. I don't feel like Philly's clamoring for Justin Fields,
Kenny Pickett
for Jalen Hurts,
or Jalen Hurts
to be benched, to be removed as a starter. So you went from a situation where, okay, yes, Russ was going to be the starter, right, and you were going to be the backup, but there was still an opportunity for you to potentially be a starter.
And right? Russ is on a 1 year contract,
and he's on a 1 year contract.
Yeah.
And you were first round draft pick. So maybe they weren't going to pick up your option after year four, but you still had another, I believe, 2 years to prove your worth with your original team. You go to a more harsh football city in Philly to go back up someone who was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago and who still led his team to what was their record? They were like 9-8, 10-11, and 9-11.
Nah, they fell off towards the end, but I still think that, I mean, they made it.
They were double digit. They won 11 games. Yeah, so I think they went, I think they went 11-6, right?
Yeah, they went from like 8-1 to 11-6 or something like that.
Yeah. So a double digit win, still made the playoffs, finished second in the MVP a couple of years ago, Super Bowl runner up. And you're going to go back that guy up? Like, come on, bro. Like, maybe you know something I don't. But to me, this was one of those, take your humble pie. Work it, stay with the team, try to work it out and get your spot back. That's just me. But anyway, 11-7. Appreciate you. 11-7. So here, so let's jump. With all that being said, let's jump into this mock draft, right? So if you have been following us, we're making 4 picks a week leading up to the NFL draft. We're going to be on with the homie JC and his podcast the week of the NFL draft, where we'll probably see if we can go through our final 4 picks with those guys on their show. And so let me share my screen here so you can see what we have done thus far. And please understand this. When you see these picks, most of these picks were made prior to free agency. So some teams have made moves that make these picks obsolete already. All right. Mm-hmm. So I just want you guys to understand that. Let's see. Mock draft. Share. All right. Ooh. So here's what we've done thus far. Obviously, Caleb Williams, number 1. Jaden Daniels, number 2 overall to Washington. Drake May, we'll see, right? Yeah, but I think in their thoughts that the Patriots will try to trade back. We'll see. We went Joe Alt over
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Because at that time, we thought solidifying a left tackle was a greater need than wide receiver. Marvin Harrison obviously then goes number 5 overall to the Chargers. Talese Fuaga to the Giants. Malik Nabers, pick 7 to the Titans. They probably hadn't signed. Right now.
Yeah, they hadn't signed Calvin Ridley.
They hadn't signed Calvin Ridley yet. Although you could still say, you know, look.
Yeah, Hop, Nabers, Hop, Ridley. Golly.
Hop is at the end of his, you know, coming on the tail end of his career. It would not be a crazy thing for the Titans to go wide receiver, even though they got Calvin Ridley.
They're probably going
to. Then, to me, one of the most obvious picks that is going to happen, because it's been mocked everywhere. I made this pick without really looking at mock drafts, or we made this pick without really looking at mock drafts like that.
Yes.
But to me, this seems like the most obvious need for the Falcons, and this is something that, if it's not Dallas Turner, it should be some.
It's Jared Verse or Dallas Turner. Like it's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So right now, we're back on the clock. The Bears again at pick number 9. And to me, this is where, like in real life, right, like before we make this pick for ourselves in this mock, this is where it gets interesting for me. If a team has not traded up to go and get J.J. McCarthy, who seems to be, at worst, is going to be a consensus top 12 to 15 pick.
Yeah.
Based on all the chatter that these.
He's not getting past 11.
Right. So if the Bears are there, there's an opportunity for them to trade back. Right. Because you look at what they've done on defense. To me, they're solidifying their defense. They've made obviously great strides in bringing in weapons on offense. And so to me, this becomes, what do you have on your line? Right. And so they got Tevin Jenkins at guard. They got your guy from Tennessee, Darnell Wright, at right tackle. Hold on 1 second. Let me pull up their depth chart.
This is probably I think that we've noticed that with the Vikings picking up pick 11 and 23, more than likely, they're going to try to package something together to get in the top 6. If they don't, this is where the Vikings are trembling at the Broncos saying, hey, Chicago, you know, let us move up to 9 so that we can grab J.J. McCarthy before he drops to 11.
So I went and looked this up, right? Nate Davis, you know, I take Pro Football Focus stats with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Shout out to my dad. He says I wouldn't take any of these guys within the first 15 picks. I understand.
Like no
people, this.
Period. Like no players, or are you talking about quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks. No, okay. I understand what you're saying, Dad. Like, but that's not what. Listen, it's a quarterback tax. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah. I agree with you with the J.J. McCarthy thing.
Right. I don't think J.J. McCarthy should go here either. However, right. I do think that this is what's going to – like, it's – shout out to Titus. It's not the Foles prophecy. It's the McCarthy prophecy because he will be going top 15. So this is a right place for an opportunity to trade back and pick up more draft picks for future drafts. However, if I were Chicago in at this stage and things have fallen this way, I would try to trade back because I would want to solidify my guards, position. Tevin Jenkins, like I said, is playing guard right now, but the other young man that they have playing guard, at least from Pro Football Focus numbers, he rated very poorly. And so with the moves they've made, I would like to see them go guard. However, for the purposes of this mock, we're going to take – I suggest tackle.
Yeah, I'm definitely going offensive line. So
let's see who we got. Let's see who we got on offense.
There's no need to draft that receiver this high. There's no need to do that. You know, we've got the
quarterback. Although, look, I ain't going to hold you.
I know he's nice, but I'm not. He's nice, but you just brought in Keenan Allen and you got DJ Moore. I think they signed – or they have a slot that's, you know, not terrible, if I'm not thinking.
Somebody named Tyler Scott. I have no idea who Tyler Scott is. My apologies. I don't know who that man is. They got Velus Jones Jr. as the wide receiver too at that spot.
I wish he panned out, but yeah. All right.
I'll put it to you this way. You can make an argument for them going Roma Dunze here, but I do think that offensive line would be a greater need.
Yeah.
And Braxton Jones, again, I looked him up on Pro Football Focus. He had decent numbers at the left tackle position. So let's see who they have at this left tackle. And we'll determine whether the better option is to go
Rome
left tackle or go wide receiver. So, I mean, Olu Fashanu was seen as a consensus top five pick.
Yeah, I've seen him. Season. Yeah, I've seen him pop up on a lot of mocks in the top 10.
Yes. So what do you do in this? Do you think, should we go Olu or should we go Rome?
I'm going to take Olu.
All right, we'll go Olu here.
Because Garrett Wilson needs help at number 10. So I'm taking Olu here because Garrett Wilson needs some help.
Titus says, if I'm the Bears, I for sure love J.J. McCarthy being in the division with me. Listen.
Yes.
Listen, I saw him. Someone breaking down tape of they were looking at Ohio State. They were looking at one of their interior linemen, but they were like kind of showing clips of McCarthy. He made some really good throws. There are some throws he made where I go, that's very young man. Very good. Very good.
The Vikings will be taking Joe Milton with the 11th pick.
All right. So let's get into this, right? So number 10, we got the Jets. This is a no-brainer. Rome in our mock has fallen, you know, from out of that top 6 to 7, 8 position. He's down to number 10. The Jets are running, sprinting to the podium to turn this pick in if he's there. Although it wouldn't surprise me for them to do some goofy stuff like,
now, did the Jets fans cheer or do they?
They're going crazy if Roman Dunze is the pick. But I can see the Jets doing some goofy stuff and saying, we'll take Brock Bowers. Like, I can see them doing that.
Yeah.
But Roma Dunze, no-brainer. We're not thinking about it. I guess here's the question. If right now, are we going J.J. McCarthy?
Well, the Vikings are. I mean, if the Vikings don't have to trade up and they can get him at 11, he's picked.
Hold on. Let me look up. Let me.
You and I are not sold on J.J. McCarthy.
So we're not taking J.J. McCarthy here in our mock, right? Is that what you're saying?
If this is I'm running, right, the team, I'm not taking J.J. McCarthy here. But if this is like what we believe is going to happen, then yes, we're taking J.J. McCarthy here because that's just going to happen. They didn't bring in Sam Darnold and pay him $10 million for – I have no – what? Maybe him and Kirk Cousins have the same agent. Maybe they just – maybe like he gave him a business card or something. $10 million?
Let me ask you. So we are going to go let me see what options are available right now. So let me look.
Well, they have a quarterback need, and they're not taking Brock Bowers.
So there's J.J., Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. Eesh. Okay, yeah, let's get out of here. All right.
Yikes. Keep going down there. I want to see the rest of them. I want to see what's that. They got Spencer Rattler that high. He's terrible.
70th.
Let's see.
Michael Pratt from Tulane.
Oh, gosh.
Jordan Travis is interesting to me. He's probably not going to go to like the fourth or fifth round, but I wonder if he would have been a second or third round guy had he not broken his leg.
How far down is Joe Milton? Oh, there he is. 161. Average draft. How many rounds is that? Let's see, 35.
So it's like 32 teams.
Yeah, that's in the fifth. It's in the fifth round. Or the end of the fifth going into the sixth round. Oh, Tonga Vailoa. Okay, I see you. All right.
He got more injury issues than
than
Michael Penix. All right. So to me, they did they sign Jonathan Grenard? Let me double check. Let me look at something. They did. They signed Jonathan Grenard to be, I guess, to be like their new Danielle Hunter. Because Danielle Hunter went to the Texans.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Mm-hmm.
Dang. I kind of wanted to go edge here. Safety, there's no first round safeties. This is where it's getting kind of hard to make these picks now. I feel like I'm in like the eighth round of like a fantasy draft and I don't know who to take at this point. Let me look at the best available players right now. They got TJ Hockenson. I feel like, I think interior. I think Byron Murphy from Texas.
I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that.
Yes, that's a perfect pick because I'm looking at their Harrison Phillips, who I believe they signed from Buffalo not too long ago. And then they have Jerry Tillery, who has kind of bounced around the league. He was drafted originally by the San Diego Chargers.
Are we picking J.J. McCarthy with the next pick?
No, we're not picking J.J. McCarthy with the next pick.
You have two teams that we know are dying to draft quarterbacks, and we're just going to be like, F that. These guys suck.
We are the GMs of these teams.
All right.
We don't have to take a quarterback just because – the rest of the world thinks they should.
Who's starting for the Broncos? Paxton Lynch or who's there? Is it Osweiler?
Man, that's a great question. Hold on, I'm gonna actually put this on the screen.
So these two guys have the definition of needs quarterbacks. Sam Darnold. Right.
So, Jared Stidham, come on down.
Oh gosh.
And then Ben DiNucci.
Is this the XFL? Is this what I'm looking at? Is this what I'm looking at right now?
All right. So I think looking at the quarterback situations for both of these teams, I think that we're gonna go quarterback at number 11.
Yeah, I think we're going J.J. McCarthy at number 11.
I think our hand has been forced here. We're going J.J. McCarthy against our better judgment.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Ben did what? Oh, man. Yo, Titus says, I saw a report asking teams should trade up for both. Listen, man. Go get Michael Penix Jr. and stop playing. Please. Please stop playing.
I seen mock drafts that have Bo Nix in the top in the first round and Michael Penix not.
Bro. I mean, I think most evaluators have, you know, Caleb Williams is number one clearly for most people. Drake May and Jaden Daniels it's kind of like take your pick, it's a preference. And then I think clearly the start of the next tier is J.J. McCarthy and then Bo Nix.
Yeah. Well, Michael Penix Jr., I think it's just the injuries. I think it's just like people,
age. Yeah. And the age. Yeah.
Bo Nix is old too, though.
True.
Yeah.
True. I don't know. All right. So let's make this last pick and then we'll be done with the mock draft for tonight. So unfortunately, sadly for Sean Payton, who I don't trust to coach a new quarterback, but that's neither here nor there. There are no options left for quarterbacks at this particular pick.
I agree. So this to me is Jared Verse.
I would say, hold on, let me look up their depth chart. I was going to go cornerback here, and I think Quinyon Mitchell out of, I think it's not Western Michigan, is it? Let me see.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know.
Toledo. His tape has, based on what I've been told, because I'm not breaking down no tape, based on what I've read, his tape looks really well. He dominated Senior Bowl, great numbers at the combine. He is going to be the first cornerback off the board, barring some crazy, you know, off the field issue. I'm looking at their depth chart at corner. Obviously, they have Pat Surtain the second, and they have a young man named Damari Mathis.
Go Quinyon Mitchell, I wouldn't be surprised if they do. They have another first round pick.
No, they do not.
They would have to trade back into the first round. There's no way they're taking Quinyon Mitchell right now and not trading back up to get.
If they can, so I think the problem is, right, is I don't know what they're in an arms race versus Minnesota, who already has two first round draft picks to offer on top of whatever else. So they've got to figure out a way to see if they can get back into that first round. Otherwise, I don't think they're going to be able to offer enough to get into that arms race to get.
I don't think Jared Verse is falling out of the top 15.
I mean, I could see Jared Verse going, and this is, you know, for future, right, next week. Yeah. To me, he won't make it past the Saints.
Yeah. They just picked up Chase Young, though.
I don't see him making it past the Saints.
Yeah.
All due respect to Chase Young. I just think the injuries have robbed him of what was a promising career.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, like I said, unless you
okay,
unless
let's you do Quinyon Mitchell. I like picking the DB. I like getting a DB a top 12 pick.
All right. So, and it obviously now I didn't have any other. It jumped to the next pick for the Vikings, but you can see what we've done so far: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Joe Alt, Marvin Harrison Jr., Talese Fuaga, Malik Nabers, Dallas Turner, Olu Fashanu, Roma Dunze, JJ McCarthy, and Quinyon Mitchell. Next week, tune in on the next episode of Dragon Ball Z as we go from picks 13 through 16 as we make our way through all 32 teams in our mock draft. All right, man. Dun, 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 dun. Shout out to Titus. He said Verse shouldn't fall past Atlanta. We'll see, right? Like we had
they're not taking – Dallas Turner is
I mean, listen.
I mean, it's really – it's kind of – did I don't know. I don't know what I was doing right there.
The thing that Jared Verse has over Dallas Turner is he's got inside outside versatility. So
yeah,
he could be right. Right, I can see it. Could the pick could be Verse over Turner for that very reason?
Yeah, I've seen it mocked a couple times like that.
All right, so let's jump into this Smack Volume 11. we're like almost an hour into this. So let's jump into this Smack Volume. Smack Volume 11 went down this weekend on Caffeine. It went down on the URL app for the first time. They made history of going live from their own app. Had five battles, obviously, OMP versus – well, technically they had six, right? We'll say five and a half. OMP versus Ace Amin did not go down. It is going to be rescheduled at a later date. Because they always finish the objective at URL. And so let's see if I can do this from memory without having to go to Twitter to look at the card. So the first battle on the card was Chef Trez versus Charlie Clips. Your thoughts?
Shout out to Charlie Clips, opening cards these days. Congratulations, Charlie Clips. You are the first person on the stage battling for a reason. Man, I rock with Clips heavy. I rock with Clips every time I see him. And this is always the dynamic, you know, a battle rapper to battle rapper. You watch somebody, they say something negative about you or whatever. It's just like, man, Clips, I felt like he had ample time. Last year, he was battling a whole lot. Like, I felt like he had some time off. I felt like he could go in there. I think we talked last week about, I'm like, he's going to have one of them rounds. You know what I mean? Like he did with Twerk. And the one thing Clips has, man, is he has this. It must be contagious because it damn near clipped me too, you know, no pun intended. But he has this way of making his opponents just not care, I guess. And it's like not even not care, but it's just, man, I thought it was just it wasn't a good battle. I watched probably 75% of it. I didn't finish the entire thing, or I think I missed the first part. But man, as I'm watching it, it's just not good material. It wasn't good material from Chef Trez either, in my opinion. There were some parts that Clips had that I'm like, all right, kind of getting to a little bit of an old Clips bag and then it would just fall completely flat, and he would flat, and he would try to do a whole nother scheme with something that was already bad. Shout out to A Ward, man. A Ward said the realest thing ever to Charlie Clips in their first battle. We don't want you to do another scheme. We want you to make, you know, do a good one the first time. You know what I mean? Like, I forget exactly what the bar was, but A Ward, it was probably the line of the his career. Yeah. Unfortunate.
You went Wayne. Shouts out to yourself, huh?
Yeah. Man, it was just bad. It wasn't a good battle.
Shout out to Titus. He says Clips got the bad battle badge in on Hall of Fame like it's 2K. So I had Chef Trez with a 30. I feel like the first round is debatable. Like, to me, the best part of Clips' first round is when he does like the DoorDash with all the food, but I'm still not in love with that particular segment. I think there's a lot of nitpicking you can do with that particular segment.
Here's what we're going to stop doing. We're going to stop saying Sirius Jones is trash and not saying Charlie Clips is trash. Because guess what? If they're both rapping average to below average material, at least Sirius Jones is rapping it better. And at least he's delivering it, performing it, and more well-prepared, you know? And so that's what I'm going to give. We can't sit back here because it's cool to pick on Sirius Jones, and it's not cool to pick on Charlie Clips, you know? They're both writing similar at level material, but we're afraid to tell Clips the same thing we're telling Sirius Jones. Like, get it together.
Well, you can come tune in every week for analysis just like that on It's a Black and White Thing featuring A1 and A Ward. Like, I feel like Clips is kind of he's Russell Wilsoning his career, right? Where, and here's what I mean by that. Russell Wilson was seen, even after the loss to the Patriots, Russell Wilson was seen as a surefire Hall of Famer. Had they won that second Super Bowl, he would have been a lock for the Hall of Fame. Everything that has happened to Russ over the last 3 to 4 years is kind of undoing all of that goodwill, all of that quote unquote legacy that he built up in Seattle. The way things ended in Seattle, the way things have gone in Detroit, being on your third team now, people thinking that your career is essentially over. And that's what I mean when I say that Clips is Russell Wilsoning his career. All of that run that Charlie was on, what is it, that 2012, 2014 run, where people consider him a Mount Rushmore candidate for everything that he had done during that time, you're kind of undoing that with this current run of showing up with one round and then just kind of feeling your way through the second and the third round. And I mean, we're almost at the point where it was like, yo, we can't book Clips. We're like, fans are not going to want. There's a diehard.
Who's saying that? That's weird because he's on RBE next week. He's, you know, like, for some reason, the accountability is not there. And everybody's just continuing to book him on main cards, on main leagues. So, you know,
I guess the thing is because it's Clips, right? Like,
exactly.
There's always a chance he's going to somehow reach into that bag and give you a round and a half.
It's not even that anymore. It's not even that anymore. It's because there's really not a chance that he's going to do that anymore. Like, it's Clips, and it's Charlie Clips off of his name, off of the fact he's still on Wildin' Out, off of the fact that, you know, the common fan still clicks on it and he gets YouTube views, and that's why these leagues are booking Charlie Clips. Because unfortunately, we don't hold anything accountable in battle rap, and all of the old legends still sell tickets, you know, and there's names still sell tickets, and they get the views, and that's all that matters anymore.
Like I said, in the dungeon, we have a huge Charlie Clips fan, and I was like, yo, man, we got to stop booking Clips right now. Like, we need a break. And then somebody was like, yo, don't let Nick see this. He's not going to be happy. And he goes, nah, he's right. Like, when you have a guy who has rocked with Charlie Clips through thick and thin saying, nah, man, it's time. Like, we got to stop. Yeah.
And I rock with Clips. I call him later. I see him in, you know, Orlando here in a month, like, shake his hand. I literally saw him in, where was I just at? In Connecticut, you know, and we talked, and I talked about the battle, and I'm like, yo, I'm like, bro, I know you got something for this. I, you know what I mean? And he's, But it's like, man, like, are you out of touch? Are you, what is it? You know, like, yeah, shout out to Titus. Shout out to Titus for that. It's tough, man. It's tough when it's the people's gift. Now, I'll say this much. I completely understand your analogy. But Clips has his height has been way higher than what Russell Wilson has ever. You know what I mean? The analogy is what we're, that's all correct. He's literally kind of sabotaging that and positioning himself accordingly. Like, I just don't want anybody to think that I agree with us acting like Clips on 10 and what he did for battle rap in his career is up there with the Brady's, the Mannings and everything of, you know, they just didn't do what he's doing. So it's kind of very unique.
I can respect that. I can respect that. And again, Clips is a legend. When I first got into battle rap, he was one of, like, Clips was my first favorite battle rapper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I would go and search Charlie Clips versus, and whatever popped up, I'm hitting play and I'm watching all three rounds. And so I want him again. Can he be 2012 to 2014 Clips again? Probably not. But can we see glimpses of that every once in a while? As someone who wants to see him do well, I hope we can get that from him.
But this is the thing. Is these guys have to want to have the skill set. You know what I mean? In sports, you know, it's father time, right? All of a sudden, you can't jump. You can't throw. You can't, you know, you can't take the hits. And you know it's time, right? In battle rap, there's never a you know it's time, because they're still compensated and given the big opportunities to perform based off just their name, right? Like, bro, we're in battle rap now. Like, there's Euros, you know, there's a Euro step, there's a this, there's a boom, there's a step back, there's all of this types of stuff that you're like, you know what, I'm just gonna go straight to the bucket. And like, you know, like, you're getting blocked, you're not making shots, but it's not evident because we don't have any accountability. So it's guys like Clips who's just like, no, my style is me. I'm Clips. I rap like this. This is how I made my name. Battle rap loves it, because guess what? He's still getting beat. He's still getting the plates, you know, until we say, hey, I'm not booking you. I'm not paying you. I'm not doing any of this stuff. Then maybe some of these guys will go back and be like, all right, I got to show that I could really run with these young dudes, you know?
All right. Yeah. And again, he gets... Again, I bring up the Lou Castro performance.
Mm-hmm.
Lou Castro performance. Now, you have people who will critique that and say, well, he was still the same Clips. He just, y'all just liked it that time. And I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I thought he was really good versus Lou Castro. I think he might have been one of the best battlers on that particular card, which I don't remember.
I talked to Clips about it literally a few weeks ago. He beat Big K clearly on RBE. And he still rapped like Clips, but there was just a different, his content, he was more locked in. It seemed like he cared more. He was more direct. You know what I mean? He was doing different, you know? And so I think you could still be Clips, but dog, like, I think that we're seeing that you're putting it all together last minute. You know, we talk about this all the time. Whenever I'm seeing your setups, you're using the same, same lines in all of your setups, like, you're freestyling or you just wrote this on the way to the venue, you know? Come on.
All right. No, I don't want to, you know, keep prolonging that, man. Shout out to Trez. I think Trez got the win.
Trez got the win.
I can excuse Trez if people feel like his material was not the best. We've seen better versions. The man that literally just battled three times over the last, like, what, in one weekend, right? He's been out there heavy. So I can forgive him, maybe, if people feel like he was lackluster. I thought he was maybe not the Trez we saw versus like a Low Supreme, but I thought it was pretty close. Like, I thought it was not that far off. So shout out to him. I got him getting the W. Shout out to Mama Ward. She says, I'm in a lot of chats and most people don't want to see Clips for some reason. The leagues won it. I mean, hey, he does bring a return. Shout out to Smack. He brings a return on investment. Whether he's good or bad, he brings a return on investment. So
those people that are saying they don't want to see him are not buying cards because he's on it.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump into the next battle on that happened over the weekend. And that was Miss Hustle versus Chess. Man, Chess. So I'll say this. I know people have been really, really tough on him for what happened in this battle. I don't know if he's gotten himself like checked out to find out why he has his issues with having to some type of reflux, some type of that causes him to throw up. That was very uncomfortable to listen. Like, I wish they could have muted his mic somehow while he is literally like, I hope that someone had like a Sprite or some type of juice for him to swish and spit, because like, I would not want to have to stand in front of him for three rounds while you project your voice and but anyway, I don't want to focus too much on that. Hustle, probably performer of the night. I'm gonna go back and look at this card. I think she's
Hustle or T-Top. Probably it's Hustle or T-Top.
She had three fire rounds. Mortician bar. Yeah, that was crazy. The shapeshifter, I had to be daddy too.
Yep.
Like, she had some punches.
Third round angle. Really enjoyed it.
Yes. I mean, and she was barking on him. And I mean, like, it makes it worse that he's throwing up. It makes it worse that she's got the height difference on him. So now, like, you know, you leave that opening for Hustle, and now she's turned up even more and performing and literally like,
yeah,
looking down on you and barking on you. And
then her content, her content is she's angling, she's talking about him choking. You know what I mean? It was all full circle. You know, it was well written, it was put together well. But yeah, you know, you see a lot of people say, I'm so sick and tired of people, you know, flipping chest as chest, right? No. He has chest problems too. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's not a name flip. We're literally referring to the fact he can't get this thing taken care of either. So the irony there is, you know, chest to me is when he's on 10, he's one of the best battlers in the world. When he's on 10, in my opinion, we used to be so infatuated with, oh, he's like 16 years old. Da, 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 da. No, performing, believability, writing, all of that kind of stuff. When he's in that bag, to me, Chess is like a top 10 battle rapper in the world. And probably top 5 most difficult to beat. You know? Losing end on somebody else going crazy, is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, is it just me, yeah, or does Chess always end up on the losing end of somebody else going crazy?
Yeah, I can definitely see that too. I can definitely see that too. But yeah, you know, and I'm sure it's a psychological thing too. Once he's throwing up, it's hard for him to even like get into his second and third rounds. You know, I did like seeing some of the character come out when he was like, "This is a 30," and then he was like, "Actually, this is a 2-1." You know what I mean? He was trying to make up for some of that or whatever. And Chess is like Twerk, right? Even when they have bad performances, even when they choke or whatever, their material is still good. You know, like what they were going to say, what they're writing down is still better material than what I'm hearing from clips. Even Chef Trez that night, even Sirius Jones, even Tay Rock that night. Like these guys are having better. It's just that they can't, you know, that they've got, I don't know. I've always heard, hasn't happened to me yet. Hopefully it never does. But I've always heard that like once that first time, like you choke, like every battle you go to after that, it's like right there. Like every slip up, every stumble, it's like it's stuck in your head. Like you're about to do this again. It is psychologically like a terror, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Man, like I said, I hope he can figure out what causes that and he can work on it so that he can have a clean performance. Because like you said, I thought he was still a little bit choppy in a second, but he got through it. I feel like the third was his cleanest round. It might have been his best round, but I think at that point it was too late.
Yeah.
Hustle had already shown levels. And yeah, man, like I want him to be able to get into a good place where he can get through that material. Because like you said, when he's on, he's one of the best in the world. And like you said, once he got through the choking, I feel like that first round mentally, I think he was just literally just trying to get through the round. Right. Like,
yeah,
because the second and third round, he turns up a lot more. So I hope he can fix whatever ails him on that end, man, and can get through these bars and get through these rounds clean. And he can show
people. Come on, URL. Listen, 401k, medical, dental, vision. Like, sign these guys, you know, get them, you know, over to the doctor, you know. I'm preaching to the choir, man. I still don't think I have a primary care physician, and I'm almost 40 years old. So, you know, so I'm preaching to the choir. But, yeah, hopefully, you know, it's one of those situations where it's like, man, it's been going on for so many years. It's like, why now would you, you know? But, yeah, I definitely, man, when chess is on the card, I want to watch the battle still.
Absolutely. All right, so this next battle, Tay Rock versus Sirius Jones. This was technically the main event, but they decided to go before Twerk and T-Top. So I'll start. I had Sirius taking the first. I thought that Rock took a little too long to heat up. The last minute or so of his round, he got into his bag. I felt like Sirius, a little long-winded at times with some of the setups that lead to the punches, but I thought this was clearly his best round. I thought he had some good angles, some good talking points, and I thought he did really well in that first. However, this is like Sirius in rounds 2 and 3. You know how you watch like highlights on a sports show, and they'll be like, you know, hey, this game started off, you know, kind of competitive, right? The first quarter, this team, you know, was hitting shots. They were doing this. And then after the first quarter, there are no more highlights to show. It all go, and that's not all the way true, because he still had a couple of nice bars here and there. But overall, it was a complete nosedive in the second and the third. Then Tay Rock, he starts to, at least from his first round material, he starts to elevate and he starts to be better than his first round. His second and third to me were about the same, you know, content bar wise and all that stuff, but it was just clearly better than the material Sirius had in the second and third. And to me, Rock won that 2-1 clear. And yes, we had the whole, please take notes. Do not touch Rock when you battle him. Please make sure that you can be aggressive as you like. Just don't touch him.
That's a bar. Actually, I think I just thought of a bar, because like whenever they go on the Apollo, they put their hands on Rock, right? But then Apollo is actually a boxer too. So there's a bar there that maybe I need to figure out a little later.
But yeah, flesh that out. Flesh that out.
Sir. Yeah. You know, here's another thing you're seeing in battle rap, right? You're seeing one, the quantity of battles that people are taking. They're battling a lot more often, right? And two, you're seeing you're not getting a lot of time to prepare for battles, right? So a few things happen as a battler, right? You start writing for an opponent. A lot of your fresh name flips, your fresh angles, your fresh all of these things, right? They go into that first round, right? You're feeling hype about it, you know? Then you're losing days, and then second round tails off, third round's not as good, you know what I mean? And this, I've been guilty of this as well, you know? If you watch the A-Verb battle, to me, oh, I kind of had a high couple rounds, and then third round, kind of reaching for different things, you know what I mean? And, like, with Rock battling so much, you know, like, he's got, you know, his material to me was like a 5 on a scale of Tay Rock, right? Like a 1 to 10. It's like a 5. He's rushing material. He's trying to get it done because he's got Bill Collector next week. And then Sirius Jones on the flip side, he comes out in his first round. He's at a high level of rapping and different things like that. And then he's just telling off, you know what I mean? And there's an art that when you get all of these rounds together, being able to say, all right, if I can, you know, if none of this has to be in chronological, how do I order these rounds? Or how do I take this punchline? This thing needs a little bit more in a second. I think I could take this over here and put it here. I think they just put it here, strengthen up, bulking up, all this stuff, whatever. And I didn't think either one of them did any of that very well. I thought it was another underwhelming battle. I tweeted that Rock probably knew that he could beat Sirius Jones just based off projection, cadence, you know, and yelling out his ad-libs after every line. You know, he could just win off of that. And because, no pun intended, but nobody's taking Jones seriously these days. They're just not. I was impressed. I tweeted it out. I said, yo, Jones is rapping. Like, his the pockets he's in and how he's performing this material in this first round, I'm like, let's go, Jones. You know what I mean? Not frazzled. Not having to ad-lib after every line. Not having to talk and do all this stuff in between battles. Just ready to rap. Just and confident, like rapping with confidence. Even though I still felt like it was average material, you know? You just, like, if I could talk with him, I'm just like, you know, hey, bro, like, I get what you're trying to do, but you can't say extra gin and make it estrogen. You can't say the masculine tea. We don't even call Tay Rock tea, right? We don't even call him that. and then masculinity, like this is this bad. You can't the blow up doll lines. These are things that you might be hitting a nice punchline, and then that, and we forgot anything you just said because of how bad it is. You know.
So let me ask you this question. Shout out to Shock. Shock is not, you know, he's not a battle rap fan, right? Like, he's a casual of the casual. Like, he's not Roch watching. But he asked a question in the group chat, and he goes, is Sirius Jones washed?
You asking me, is he washed?
Yeah, like, because you didn't respond to that question. I responded to him, and I'll share what I told him. But do you think Sirius Jones is washed?
That's the thing, though. Sirius Jones is still Sirius Jones. He's the same Sirius Jones we've been. He might even be a little bit more technical and better Sirius Jones, but the battle rap game has done this, you know? And that's what it's like. Yo, like, y'all are not those guys now. There's this young dude from, you know, such and such that's, you know, that popped onto the scene named Woosah, or there's this other dude. And these guys are rapping, writing, and performing way better than y'all. Y'all just got the names from back then. You know what I mean? So to call him washed would be, hey, at one point in time, you rapped up here. Now you're way down here. It's like, no, you're just still rapping the same way and thinking that it's going to be, you know, really, really good, you know? So that's the tough thing about it. It's like, and then also, bro, there's settings, crowds, stages, leagues, everything matters. Sirius Jones might go over to a Chrome or a RBE and do a small full circle or whatever, and he might get reinvigorated by a performance that at that point in time, that crowd, that whatever, you know? Like, Tay Roch to me just rapped a lot of mid to Bankhead in a cage, right? It's a fresh crowd, Milwaukee. They've never seen no Tay Roch live. Cave Gang's here. They've watched them their entire life. You know what I mean? This ain't the same URL. They're reacting to every name flip, and they are excited, right? What's that do? It tells Tay Roch, now I can get away with this kind of stuff here. You know what I mean? I can't get away with that type of writing here on URL. I mean, he did because he's battling Sirius Jones, but you can't do that against me. You can't do that against Bill Collector.
Yeah, so what I told Shock is, because he talked about Mook Lux series, kind of like the DVD era guys, early YouTube era guys. And I said, well, listen, I think that, like, you to your point, I think that the culture has elevated, it's evolved, and he is struggling to meet this new era, right? Because there are, like you said, there are things that he's doing well, but then you have kind of these bars where it's like, you probably could have got away with that 10 years ago. 15 years ago. You can't get away with that now. That's not going to work.
Right.
So you've got to find ways to freshen up your material, update. Not necessarily, I don't want to say update to the way, because I know a lot of, you know, older vets kind of talk about, all you guys do is four-bar setup, punch, right? Setup, punch, setup, punch, setup, punch. So not necessarily to that style, but to be able to update your style, what you do to today's standards.
Yeah.
And I think if he can do that, and I said Mook and Lux, I said, regardless of what you think of Mook or Lux, like, they're not clearly getting beat every battle you see them. Like, Sirius has a lot of clear losses, right? To battlers where you might say they didn't even show up on 100.
Yeah.
They might have shown up at half strength, half speed, and still were easily clearing Sirius.
Now, shout out to Sirius Jones, because the Mook and Lux, they're not taking these battles. You know, Sirius Jones comes back and he says, I'm battling Mike P. Reed Dollars comes back and says, I'm battling A Ward. You know what I mean? Some of these legends, like Sirius Jones and like Reed Dollars, they came back in and said, yo, I'm competing with all these dudes, right? And Mook and Lux are like, nah, you know what I mean? I'm not even going to give y'all the ability to put my talent under a microscope. You know what I mean? I'm only battling, you know, who I want to battle, and with an ample amount of time. We got Lux and Nitty coming up. Who knows? Lux been writing for Nitty 6 months. That thing better be amazing, you know? But yeah, so it's just a situation where right now Tay Roch still does have the name. Tay Roch still has the fans. He's still buzzing, right? So he's able to take some material that might not be on the highest of levels and still get away with it. Like a Jones and Eclipse, their names are kind of like, yeah, they sell tickets, but they're, you know, in the blogosphere, in the media, in the fan world, it's like, you got to prove something to me because you've been kind of trash.
Yeah, I want to address this comment real quick. So Titans Glide says, Roch is a walking Exxon station, not to say that he isn't fired, because he is. And I mean, to me, I think you kind of earn that, right? Like when you have been good for so long,
yes,
right? There's something to be said of, yeah, people are going to give you the benefit of the doubt, especially in the moment, right? Like you might say something, he might say something that when you go on the go back, you go, ooh, I don't know, why did I cheer for that?
Yeah.
But I would say guys like yourself, guys like a Geechee, a Nitty, a Twerk, like a T-Top, like you guys have put in the work and have developed the cultural currency to be able to take a B-minus performance, maybe a C-plus performance, spit shine that baby up, and then perform the heck out of it, and people walk away and go, man, Ward just came to my city and was fire, or Rock just came to my city top, like whoever, right? And I think there's something to be said of that, of you earn that through your work. You put in the work to where when maybe you're not on your A game, people will still respect what you brought to them because you at least did it with the same intensity and passion. And maybe that's excuse making. I don't think it is.
It's a little bit, because my opinion on that is that Rock's his pen is not that. You know what I mean? He's not a writer per se, you know. He is a performer, delivery, cadence, gun bars, like he kind of has this persona to him, right? So it's like when he's like, I don't see myself, Twerk or Nitty or, you know, some other guys ever as a bad writer, you know, like even on a C-plus performance, it's like, oh, maybe you didn't have some crazy, crazy stuff, but that's still a fire punchline. That's unique. That's this, that's that, you know what I mean? Even Twerk, you know, at the event. So the tough part is, yes, the cultural currency, yes, he deserves all of that. There shouldn't be a, you have to prove to me you're Tay Rock. There should be a, oh yeah, I want to cheer for him, I'm cool. The honesty side of it comes when we're watching the battles and we're saying, hey, I'm picking a winner. You know, I'm happy that y'all love seeing him. However, that's just basic. That's cool. That's okay. That's whatever. You know, I don't care that the crowd's going crazy because I understand he deserved that energy. We all deserve that energy. I want that energy. When I was battling Bonnie, I just wanted anybody to be like, ah, you know what I mean? Like, let me get some of that because you need it, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, from the standpoint of who won, who lost, that kind of stuff, that's where you really have to dissect it and say, you know. So to move on, I had Rock winning. I had the first round as debatable. I think I even edged Rock in the first, so it probably was a 3-0. But I'm not mad at Sirius Jones getting the first either. And I had Rock second and third. So
all right. So last battle of night, we don't have to belabor this one because this one was pretty clear winner as well. Twerk versus T-Top. Man, as soon as Twerk started to repeat them lines, I was hoping it was like a fake choke, but then he couldn't get it together. And look, I'll say this, T-Top got a lot of ridicule for showing up in New Orleans and not being prepared and not having, you know, and choking. And his next two performances have been really good performances from him. And this was, again, Hustle's probably performer of the night. T-Top was probably number two because he had some stuff. He got in his rebuttal bag a little bit, which he's been doing a little bit more. He came to Kansas City, was rebutting against Jay, that guy, you know, maybe trying to get himself prepared for a future A-World performance. I don't know. But Top, to me, got a 30. I think the first two rounds, I guess you could argue debatable, the third. I think that was Twerk, the cleanest round he got through. I think he didn't have as many stumbles, got through that round particularly clean. First choked. Second, I believe he choked in the second too, or if it was extremely choppy waters. Got through it in the third, but to me, Top had three consistent dope rounds, and that's my take on that battle.
Yeah, you know, I noticed it from the jump because a lot of people were talking about the crowd. You know, the crowd. You know, they didn't feel like the crowd was really, you know, a good crowd. And you know, the one thing that Twerk still does, still to this day, is he writes for crowd reaction. He does not memorize his rounds in a chronological order. He doesn't have them transition statements after the punch to where he knows this is the next line he says, if you know, and he goes into that. He writes for crowd reaction. I think you guys noticed in the coin flip, him losing the coin flip, I think you could already kind of tell he wasn't ready to rap yet, you know? You know, and so he loses the coin flip, man, he has to go first or whatever. And you just tell after the first punch, after the first, you know, whatever it is, it's like he's not all the way there. He's not locked in. Well, guess what? This is not the crowd that's going to give you the roars and give you the things to give you the time to get in the zone. And if you're still writing late, if you're still writing lazy, if you're still not, you know, not writing as if you need to just wrap through your rounds, if you're writing for that crowd reaction, you're going to have days where it works. I've had days where, like, I'm telling you, man, I don't remember transition statements. I don't remember what goes next. But thank God, as the crowd's reacting, I can say, I haven't said this bar yet. All right, let's get to that one. You know, same thing. Crowd reacts. All right, I haven't said this one yet, you know. And, you know, Twerk is just kind of, he's cut from that mold, you know, and it's a gift and a curse. It's worked for him at times. And then this volume setting, he probably was backstage like, they're not reacting to nothing. This is terrible. You know what I mean? And it got dark for him quick. T-Top did well. I thought T-Top did well. I liked a lot of I liked a lot of his material. But yeah, and shout out to Anwar. You know, we laughed and we joked about the little viral clip from the night before at the face off. When T-Top answers the phone and Anwar's like, you know, you're gonna die tomorrow, right? Yeah, that's definitely the voice of somebody who obviously is not in tune with how locked in their client is that they manage, because that's not something I'm calling to just say.
Well, I mean, to his credit, right? I think he was just that, obviously just a little bit of gamesmanship. I didn't realize that was him though.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. So that's why Top said, I probably shouldn't even answer this.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, man. So hopefully Twerk, that was just a little hiccup for him, because he had been really, obviously all of 2023 had been really good. So real quick, y'all let us know what y'all think about our coverage of Volume 11, performances of the night, who you got winning these battles. Let's close out the show on this. Three battles that at least that we know of. RBE Full Circle event is happening this weekend in California. Hopefully, ARP, you will have some type of VOD, right? If you're not going to do pay-per-view, because there's, and I'll explain why, but we'll start kind of from the bottom to the top. Clips versus Jag. I have no assurance, no faith in Clips right now. I got Jag 30. Maybe Clips proves me wrong. I got Jag 30. How do you call it?
You know, the Full Circle events, no crowd from what I gather, you know, rooftop type battles. I enjoyed watching like Mickey Fax and Verb and Pain and Ill Will. These battles, you know, are shot a certain way. And, you know, I do enjoy hearing Jag rap. And so I would watch it just because I like the idea of Jag in one of these type of settings. Not sure what I'm going to get from Clips. The last time he did it, it was a QB battle, and it was just kind of like, what, you know? But yeah, I got Jag winning, but I'm going to watch it. I would normally be like, I'm not going to watch this, but I'm going to watch it because I think Jag's a good rapper. And I think that's something that kind of pops out to you in these types of events.
Yep. Second, shout out to Sensei Saga making his RBE debut, sir, versus Young Ill, man. Like, this is a battle, again, part of the reason why I would like to have a VOD, because I want to be able to see, obviously, shout out to the Horsemen. I want to be able to see how Saga does on his debut. We're back on the roof. Last time he was on the roof, had an all-time classic with B-Dot. Young Ill, I think the go-back was a little bit kinder to Ill than maybe it was in the building versus Big K. Obviously, that first he died, but I think his second and third was a little bit better than people give credit for. Some people have Ill winning that battle, by the way. I do not. But obviously, you're biased, so obviously you got Saga. But I think I have. I mean, I got Saga just because I think this is going to be a really good rapping battle, mm-hmm, right? Ill, one of the best is when it comes to flows and cadences. And mm-hmm, Saga is incredible with multis. Obviously, his rapping. And you get Saga in a small room, really no reaction. We saw what happened versus B-Dot. I think he's coming to make a statement back on that roof, and I got Saga with the dub.
Yeah, definitely. You know, to me, Saga is got the best performance on the roof of all time. You know, I know we called Rooftop Doc for a while, but you know, like, Saga has the, you know, he can make a claim for that same thing. I think Young Yo's a great rapper. I think a setting with no crowd is more conducive for his style right now. A lot of times when you have battle rappers that have some maybe outdated material or things that are just not hitting, you know, that well in the building with a big crowds, their confidence can be enhanced by, you know, just getting out there and rapping, you know what I mean? And letting the fans really watch it on camera, you know? Shout out to Young Ill for taking it. Shout out to Saga for being on Rare Breed. Shout out to Saga for getting his, you know, his first ever, you know, rooftop YouTube drop. That'll be dope. You know, if you're watching this, Mac Beasley, throw Saga and B-Dot on YouTube, but you're definitely not going to do that now. And that's not happening now. So, but yeah, I'm excited for it. Of course, I'm taking Saga in the battle. I just think that he writes better. And I think he raps as good, if not a little bit better too, than Young Ill. But Ill's a legend, so.
Yeah, and then finally, Ill Will versus A-Verb. And this is the main reason why I wish this was a pay-per-view option, because to me, this is a legacy battle. This is a battle that could have headlined a Max Out 4, whatever, you know, small room event, big room event that ARP and RB wants to throw. This was a main event battle. And so, like, I don't want to have to wait 3-4 months for this battle. So hopefully there will be some way to watch this fairly quickly. I got Verb in this battle. If it's going to be, if these full circle events, I think are like 90-second rounds, maybe 2 minutes at most, you get Verb in a setting where it's, I mean, this is about rapping, right? Like, this is pure rapping at its finest. And I think if it's a 90-second time limit, and you give Verb the opportunity to rap with no crowd reaction and he can just go, I think that might be more to his advantage than to Ill Will, who I think is incredible. Had won the battles of the year versus Hitman Holla at a dope event. But I just think that this setting might be more favorable to Verb than it is to Will.
Yeah, I would agree. If the time limits are like that, 90 seconds, a 2 minute cap, the charisma and the different things that Ill Will does in the ring, you know, are one of the reasons why he's the most dangerous battle rapper. And some of those types of things in settings like this are just not at the forefront, you know. And that's not to say I don't believe Ill Will is a good rapper and can go in there and rap very well. I personally believe that he's going to have better punchlines and better things that I like from the battle than A-Verb, because even with A-Verb's rap ability in the Mickey Fax battle, he still didn't say things that I was like, wow, he rapped well, right? Him and Mickey both rapped well. They both said different things. I was like, that's a display of rapping. I like that. But I'm still watching it from a, you know, okay, I want to hear a punch. I want to hear, you know, different things like that. And so I definitely do think that the tables are kind of tilted towards A-Verb in this type of setting. But I'm not picking Ill Will's just an overall better battle rapper than A-Verb, you know, period. And I'm not taking A-Verb just because it's more rapping and less, you know, entertaining.
Well, I guess here's the other part of why I say this. I think there's because now, granted, I've heard Verb say, well, this isn't a legacy. He doesn't consider this to be a legacy battle. Mm-hmm. I think some of that is just I'm not going to say he doesn't mean it, because I do think on some level he does. But I do think that he's motivated to show that Will is not a Midwest legend in the same, who deserves to be in the same breath as him. Right. And so I think, so yes, the time limit, the setting, but I also think, again, we have another space where Verb is motivated to prove a point.
I would love it if those were talking points in his material. I would love that. I think Verb does a lot of this, and then when he gets to his material, he rambles. And so I would love to hear rounds about, you know, you're not one of us, you know, I would love that. And I would be more probably prone to edge rounds to Verb if he had substance along with his rapping.
All right. So, I mean, that's our show, right? That closes things out. I just want to say real quick, as we get into our closing, first of all, Mike Masters Alliance has an event going down this weekend, 48 in the Lake, stacked card. A lot of your favorites are going to be on this one. Shout out to Titans Glide. Snee will be a Titan. Legereus Snee will be a Titan next time y'all get on.
Let's go.
My man asking for a lot of bread, Titans Glide. I'm just telling you.
He does want a lot of money.
But again,
they just picked up a free agent today. One of the last good DB free agents.
Fulton. Oh, really?
Fulton.
Christian Fulton? He was.
Yeah.
He must have resigned because he was already a Titan.
Oh, he was already a Titan.
He left. Yeah.
Oh, maybe that is. Maybe I read it wrong then. Okay.
But anyway, 48 in the Lake, Mike Masters Alliance, please go cop the pay-per-view. You can choose who you want to support. That gives them some metrics on, you know, who they should be booking. Trying to think, RBE's going down this weekend. I'm trying to think. Next YouTube weekend. Drop. Real quick, YouTube drop of the week. I battle again. Low Spring versus Chef Tress just dropped, I believe, yesterday. Go support that. Check that out.
A-Ward, Hunter Bullets, A-Ward Story, St. James. Both of those drops. So make sure y'all go watch those. Run the numbers.
Additional drops. Also, hopefully, we'll be seeing a 2-on-2 with you and Loso versus Mac and Clean pretty soon.
Hopefully, it'll be out this week. Yep.
So that'll be 3 YouTube drops in a little bit over a week's time for yourself, mm-hmm. sir. Congratulations to you. And please remember, you can check out every episode of It's a Black and White Thing by going to the podcast app of your choice. Searching for It's a Black and White Thing or Brands and Bars. Rate, review, subscribe. Give us five stars. Tell a friend to tell a friend. It's those boys again. You can also find us here on YouTube. Shout out to you guys who have shown up and been watching the content. Rate, review, hit the notification bell. Whether you watch us for a full episode or for 20 seconds to get us the view, send it to somebody. Tell them to watch it for 20 seconds to get us another view. We appreciate that. And until next time, it's been a black
and white
thing, man. We'll holler at y'all next week.